2019. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson, along with my better half, my co-host, I was trying to think of another clever name to give you, another moniker, but Eric Rosenthal. Sir, it is always a pleasure to sit down and talk with you about life, gambling, rest stops, all of this.
The pleasure is not yours, Tim. The pleasure is mine. Thank you, Tim. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Our listenership got quite the kick out of your recording location last week.
There were quite a few funny DMs sent my way, both with requests as well as some suggestions how to make time in a rest stop more productive. It was a hard pass for me, Tim, but thank you all for reaching out and appreciating the circumstances.
Oh man, our audience is entertaining for sure. All of the correspondence we get back from all of you is it amuses us to no end. Just for a little transparency, only because we're recording this on Sunday. And so we are a few days ahead of the actual release date. And I'm mentioning that because, Eric, March Madness will have completed. Who knows if there's like big news. So if this releases and there's something you were thinking we might talk about that may have happened on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning, whatever it may be, the reason that none of that's going to be mentioned is because we're recording this a little bit early because, Eric, tomorrow I am emerging into the woods. All right, I'm going into the woods. I will emerge from the woods on Friday just before Gamblepalooza. And so you and I had to record this a little bit early. Something, Eric, I'm looking for some, I'm looking for listener contributions on a subject that I think is a little different for people to talk about, but I'm curious to see if there's anything our audience has to say about it. And that is, staying healthy, but health concerns, health needs at the casino. And I'm not just talking about like making sure that you include a salad in your meals. I'm talking like if you have unique dietary needs, if you have fitness goals, if you simply just like try to dodge smoke as much as you can because casinos can get oppressive on the smoke. I'm curious how any of you out there incorporate that into a casino trip, whether it's a day trip or a full weekend, whatever it may be. If you go to thebetterlife.us, on the right-hand side, you see a little tab that says send voicemail. Click on that, and you can record up to a 90-second voice message. Let me know. I'm curious. I know that everybody's situation is different. Everybody goes about life differently, and I think that's one thing that is always a challenge, Eric, is it's applying health needs or health preferences while at a casino.
Yeah, I mean, they have all the vices in one place, so they're not exactly, they're not expecting their patrons to be looking for, pinnacle health, but you know, that everybody has their own needs. So I think that's a great question.
Yeah. And, it kind of stems from, like, I know, like, in Vegas, and I imagine maybe Atlantic City, too, is probably big, like, probably big enough area. Like, most menus, you know, point out a vegan option, or they might explain what, I know here in D.C., you open up a menu, and it'll tell you what's halal, what's kosher, right? But I don't know how obvious those things are at people's locals casinos, right? Or if that's even an option, and how they, if they have those needs, how they manage through it. So definitely curious to hear people's thoughts. Thebetterlife.us, little tab on the side says send voicemail. Only 90 seconds. Not like the other shows where you get 3 minutes, you only get 90 seconds. That's just how it's set up. But I think there's plenty of time to get your point across.
You know, I've got a story around that. So I was thinking more health choices, but not really like religious choice or religious
name. Oh sure.
So I was at Bally's Las Vegas, and I was introduced to a gentleman who is an Orthodox Jew and keeps kosher, and there weren't an awful lot of kosher options for him, but he goes to Vegas quite a bit, and he invited me to come back to his room with a group of other people, and we're hanging out in his suite and we're having a couple of drinks, and there was one bathroom that was kind of like don't use that bathroom kind of a thing.
Okay.
And then you go in there and he's got like hot plates and like he had like corned beef and brisket like cooking in the bathroom. And, and so I mean, like I don't want any bathroom brisket. Like that was
I don't want any bathroom brisket.
But this guy goes to Vegas regularly and he has dietary needs, and he just has this whole like thing that he brings so that he can, you know, have food that is appropriate to the choices that he's made. And yeah, I mean, it was like a whole setup. Like it was pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah, you never thought you'd have to turn down corned beef from made in a bathroom, huh?
From the guy hanging out at a rest stop, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, I'll do this, Tim, but corned beef in the bathroom hot plate? No, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that, you know, for me, it's usually fitness goals, right? And I say goals just to, I don't know, sort of match how society talks about it. But, like, you know, it's really easy to go an entire weekend and at a casino or at like on a trip like that. And Vegas is kind of nice because there's a lot of walking, and so I feel like my body gets a lot of movement. But if you just go to like one casino, two casinos, it's really easy to just find yourself stationary a lot of times, right? Sitting at a table, standing at a craps table, sitting at a restaurant, stuff like that. And so I'm always concerned about being stationary for too long or not getting enough movement. So like when we were in Biloxi, when we were in Joliet, each morning I made my way down to the, just to get my body to move a little bit because there wasn't enough of that. So we'll talk about that more on the next episode. Hopefully we get a couple contributions from the audience. On a semi sort of tied to that, something I know I've mentioned this before, I'm going to mention it again, and I'm curious what other people think about this, and we might make this a topic of conversation. I'm going to write a blog post about this, put it up at thebetterlife.us, and I think I'm going to record even some bonus audio to talk more about it and for our Patreon subscribers. But one of the more unique experiences in the casino as it comes to I don't want to call it like personal health, but like I guess personal discipline, there we go, is playing the don't, Eric. Playing the don't is a great exercise in stoicism. And Roman philosopher Seneca, who had no idea he was going to get mentioned on so many gambling podcasts, he was a stoic.
Sure.
And I believe that he would agree with this. Anybody who's not familiar with stoicism, it's the endurance of pain or hardship without the display of feelings or without complaint. And there's nowhere else in the casino, really, Eric, that you win or lose and are expected to not show emotion, right? People do, right? And, you know, trust me, we all know those dick don't players that cheer when they win, complain when they lose, and it's really it's not welcome, right? People don't appreciate it. And so when I'm on the don't, it is zero emotion, zero feelings. I rarely even say anything to people because I don't want to even like give off any sort of like micro emotions that I'm feeling one way or the other. There's been plenty of times, Eric, where I've been standing there and you know, I'm on my last three or four bets. I got one on the don't pass. I got three of them posted on numbers through the don't come. And the shooter picks off one at a time. And the last one hits. And I just walk away. Right? There is no like hand to the table real quick. Like, oh, you know, there's no like moment of frustration because that's not what you do as a don't player. Can you think of any other bets or position in the casino where that level of stoicism is expected from a gambler?
Oh, boy.
And I'm putting you on a spot here. I apologize. I'm kind of putting you on a spot here, but I was thinking about it. Poker players, you know, if there's any gambler that's constantly full of display of feelings, and I mean, how many people are complaining at a poker table, right?
Who isn't?
You know, at a blackjack table, there's no, you know, like when you win or lose, it's fine to show. I can't think
of any off the top of my head.
But don't players are expected, you know? And here's the thing, and here's where it goes one step further. Don't players are sort of expected to tolerate ridicule?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In that, when the line wins, when the table wins, anybody who has something to a dig to throw at the don't player, you kind of look like a dick trying to throw it back. Right. I remember, I actually found this funny. I didn't find this insulting. This was amusing, Eric. I think I mentioned it on the podcast, after this happened. It was early on in the show. Older gentleman, just to my right, whenever a point was made, he would point at my chips and go, "Take the don't." I couldn't help but chuckle when he said it. But like, you know, because that's usually what, you know, that's what the stick man announces, right? You know, sure. You know, point wins, blah, 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 take the don't, right? As soon as a point was made, he'd be like, "Take the don't." I found it amusing. But like, it's not like when the don't wins, I could be like, "Ha! Line away," right? Like, I'd look like a dick if I said that. Anyways,
I'm guilty of that. I had a friend that would always bet the don't when I was shooting, and I would tell the dealer to pay me with his chips. Like, that was a regular thing. Yeah.
Between friends, like, I've played the don't. I played the don't one time when Vito was shooting, and it won, and I threw a joke at him, right? I mean, it's a little different, right? There's a little bit, the dynamic's a little different.
How long ago was that? Was it Gamble Palooza last year?
It was.
So did it took him about a year to get even with you?
It's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah. Do you think he was playing the long game on that? Like, he's like, "You know what I'll do? I'll record with Tim for an hour and a half and do nothing with it."
Well played, Vito. Well played.
Vito. Well played. I didn't even think about that, Eric, but you know what? You're probably right. That's probably what happened. But here's the thing. He's going to have no idea that we're acknowledging it because he doesn't listen to the show. Anyways, goodness, I love Vito. No one thinks there's no, I got no beef with Vito.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but he will get even one day.
That's true.
It may take a year, but he'll do it.
Yo, I'm now betting a don't every time he rolls at Gamble Palooza next week, or this coming week as people are hearing this. Anyways. Was on that for a little longer than I intended, but I think it's a really interesting conversation because it really is. When you look at unique experiences in the casino, it's one of the more unique because it's not really seen at any other table or in any other situation where a player at a table is expected to show no feeling, no celebration, no complaint on wins and losses. And so I think it's unique. I'm gonna write a blog post about it because I think stoicism is a really fascinating concept, and I think anybody who is looking to exercise stoicism should consider playing the don't for an extent, for, you know, a determined amount of time. But anyways, I wanted to talk about that. So thank you for listening. I did my taxes, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah, TurboTax trolling the crap out of me on my lack of royal flushes by asking if I had any W-2Gs to report. It's like, "No, I don't, TurboTax," and I get it. Yeah, I haven't hit a royal flush yet. Thanks for reminding me. Yeah, I want a royal flush so bad. And it's what I mean. It's on my short list of like things I want to happen gambling. Like, I've had the big wins at any given table, right? I've had the big wins at a craps table. I've had the big runs at a blackjack table. I've had the nice games, a Pai Gow, even, right? Mm. Haven't had the I've only ever gotten like one or two straight flushes in my life too, even so.
I'm glad you brought that up. So I didn't think about talking about this on the podcast. So earlier, well, so for 2018, the tax code was changed. And the standard deduction was increased, which in general was good for a lot of people. But specifically gamblers, maybe not so much. I've seen a lot of files come across my desk where people who have W-2Gs that had lost for the year, where they were typically able to deduct their losses against their wins, weren't able to because they didn't meet the threshold to itemize deductions. And if you can't itemize deductions, you wouldn't be able to write off your losses against your wins. Right. So, you know, I mean, you do business with people, you know, so there's, you know, a lot of gamblers that use my services. And there were a lot of people that, you know, kind of fell into that donut hole where, you know, they lost money for the year and they had to pay taxes on their W-2G winnings. Many people have changed how they gamble because the W-2G that occurs with video poker or slot machines, I mean, it can occur in many other places, but those are the most common times that it occurs. It can create a real taxable event, regardless of your win or loss for the year. So, I don't know how many of our listeners are figuring that out as they're, you know, the tax deadline is approaching. But that is a reality in 2019. So, I'm not soliciting business through the podcast. I'd recommend you find a professional to discuss your tax situation with if this applies to you.
All right, look at that. A little advice from Eric Rosenthal. Wasn't never know what sort of little nuggets we're gonna get from you.
You know, it's funny. I'm asked, you know, what are you gonna talk about on the podcast this week? I never know. unless we have a guest where I fully expect, you know, there's a, you know, a line of questioning for the guest, so to speak. I don't have a clue where we're going. This is
yeah, but well, you did for not being prepared for that. You nailed it. Eric, as today is Sunday, ending the week on a little uptick in sports. I'm appreciating that. I have one bet pending, but regardless of how that goes, it's going to be a decent. It's going to be a nice small win this week. I am waiting for lines to be shown for a specific game that I'm interested in betting, but there's no guarantee that I'll bet it depending on what the line is. Nice little situation. Here's something that to note, and this will be long gone, but like I think this airs on the last day of the regular NBA season, so I'm not sure, but something to keep in mind when you're getting to the end of any sports season. The last set of games, the last like week or two, the last, you know, even in NFL, the last week or two, even every team's motivations are different. And you can't bet ATS or Moneyline or anything without understanding the motivations behind the team. Now, in the NFL, it's a little easier to pick to determine, right? Because a lot of times going into last week or two, we know where everybody sits in playoff contention. Usually it's like you have the set of people who are playing for a better playoff spot or a better playoff spot, and then you have those that aren't, right? But with like baseball and NBA, since there's so many more games and there's so many more, like whether in any given week there's three or four games, and you know the wins and losses can determine standing positions and stuff like that. Anyways, today what I'm looking at, I am waiting for a line to come out on Memphis and Dallas because Dallas has every incentive to lose because of how their draft picks are set up for the next season. And Memphis has every incentive to want to win for the same situation. I'm not going to get into the weeds of exactly what those are, but what it does is it sets up a really nice opportunity to bet aside, knowing that both teams are actually it's in the favor of both teams are in favor of what of your bet winning, right? So I'm waiting. I'm hoping to be able to get Memphis with a little bit of plus money on the money line, knowing that Memphis will be but based on the situation, assuming that Memphis is going to be putting is going to be doing everything they can to win, and that Dallas is fine with taking a loss. And those are the kind of situations you look at the end of any given season. Now there's a couple in the other one to look at playoff positioning matters, right? So look at the standings, how many games are left. Is it possible for, so there's only like at time of this recording, there's two or three games left in any team schedule. If a team is three or more games ahead of or behind another team in the playoff positioning, they're probably not putting their best out there, right? So they can't benefit from wins. Conversely, if there's only one game, there's only one game ahead or behind of a team and there's three games left, they will, you know, I do this. I like, okay, if they moved, who would they probably likely be end up playing? And would they want to play that team? Right. I mean, it, you know, we don't like to think that, that coaches and teams do this, but they do. They jockey for position on who they want to play, not only not necessarily to end up on the higher seed. It depends on the situation, obviously. And then the last one, a lot of teams like to end the year on a winning season. So even if they're not making the playoffs, are they a game or two away from being 500 or better? And if so, there's a decent chance. Again, you have to try to understand as much as you can about their situation. But they will likely, especially if their last couple of games are at home, the crowd's going to be there. They're going to want to win one for their team, for their home crowd. They have tickets to sell the next season, right? So, okay, we didn't make the playoffs this year, but we had a winning season. We lost our couple, or we won our last couple at home. Things like that. So, I know as you're hearing this, the NBA season's over, but you have the NHL season, you have MLB, and of course you can apply this to future seasons. But a little look, Eric, into how to consider betting the last week or two of any sports regular season.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunities that open up as more variables are known.
Yep.
Yeah, so end of season is always good for that. You know, I had an interesting experience sports betting this week.
Oh, sir.
Okay. So during the last episode, I think it was, I talked about the CrackWins app.
Yes.
Okay. So Bill Krakenberger is well respected. I took the plunge, and this was my first pick selling service that I have bought into. And let me start off by saying that with any of these things, you're looking over the long haul. So it's very difficult to judge anybody's picks with any kind of short-term win-loss ratio.
That's right.
Okay. So I decided that going into this week, what I was going to do was I would lay out my picks, and then I would follow Crack's picks. And I may not take all of his picks, but I would chart my win-loss along with his win-loss. And I started off pretty strong. At one point, I was 8-2.
What sport? Can you tell us what sport?
This was baseball and basketball.
Okay.
And Crack's picks that I chose were not 8-2. So, you know, they were not 8-2. So yeah. As you're rationalizing the monthly expenditure for access to these picks, you think to yourself, huh, okay. I mean, realistically, if he's, you know, 58%, I should be happy. Right?
Right.
I mean, that's right. So, and at that moment, he was not at 58%, but he's putting out volume, and we're talking about a couple of days worth of picks, so I cannot be upset. However, we, as you mentioned, we're recording this Sunday morning, so last night was the final four, and yeah. I had fairly substantial action on Virginia and Michigan State.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And crack was on the other side of both of them. Which gave me pause. So I looked at it.
Did you buy it back?
I bought back a considerable amount.
Wow. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah. So crack actually saved me quite a bit of money. So, yeah. So the, you know,
No shame in that. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. There's no shame in buying back a bet. And but for people, for anybody who doesn't like, essentially, you took the side, and then you have caution. Go like after you make a bet, you have caution on the bet you made, whether due to injury, opinions of other bettors, whatever it may be. And you're like, you know what? I don't want this risk. You buy it back. You end up losing the vig, but you're lowering it's risk aversion.
Well, actually, so what I did was I bet in game. And I waited. Okay. I waited for there to be a swing so that I had a potential middle.
Oh, okay, yeah, you can do that too.
Yeah. So I didn't lock in a loss, which I mean you can do, right? It could go bad right off, you know, right out of the gate. But I felt confident that there would be enough swings, so I wound up with plus money on the other side of both of my bets, and I had potential for it to be a very profitable day if things fell exactly right. It didn't fall exactly right, but I didn't take the loss that I would have or should have, could have, whatever.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I learned from this, you know, the in-game wagering, there's really an art to it.
Yeah.
Right. And I think if you get good at in-game wagering, and when I say good at, it's not even necessarily handicapping, right? Let's remove the sport from what's actually happening here. It's really just, you know, your initial wager is an asset, right? It's a generic asset. Doesn't matter what it is. And its value is fluctuating, just like prop swap. Right?
Yes.
The value of your bet is fluctuating. But in game, you have the ability to either add to your position or reverse your position. And you can kind of dollar cost average. And we're getting all sorts of financial stuff today. You can kind of dollar cost average into the position that you want. And that, yes. And that position can change. So it was due to cracks picks and my ability to kind of get off of what I was originally on, and I had been on to a multiple of the 8-2 games, I'll say it that way, could have been an expensive week, and it turned out not to be. So while the baseball bets that I followed from crack didn't work out as well as I had hoped, I don't think I would have been looking to get off of my NCAA action as quickly or as strongly as I did had it not been for him being on the exact other side of everything that I'm doing. So the Auburn, I think, was plus six. I think it was Auburn.
That sounds right. Because I teased the dogs and I had 11.5.
Yeah,
and I had a 5.5. I had a 5.5 point teaser on both sides, and I had 11.5, so it must have been six.
Yeah, and Texas Tech won outright. So most of my action was against the spread initially, and then I was able to use money line to get off of it. And then in any event, crack saved me a lot of money. So
very good.
Yeah. And I guess. So here's the other thing. So I had, I was 5 units on one and 10 units on the other. Okay. Points bet. I mean, listen.
Oh, yeah.
You got this company. So if you deposited 250, they gave you an extra 250. Right, it was 100% match, no rollover, no gimmicks, just 250 gets you 250. And if you live in New Jersey, or you know somebody who lives in New Jersey, or you, I'm not suggesting anybody break the terms and conditions or the law, but that that extra 250 is, you know, I think their terms and conditions were per household. So it's possible that if you knew 14 people in 14 other households that could qualify for the bonus and they weren't really gamblers and they didn't care, you know, you could have picked up, you know, over $3,000 in bonus money to help offset your units. So for those of you coming to Gamblepalooza, there are about 5 or 6 sites that are offering considerable bonuses. And if you're going to do any sports gambling while you're in Atlantic City, you should consider using these bonuses. If you need a referral, I happen to know a guy. And, yeah. And anyway, so between crack and points bet bonus, it's going to be a positive week that shouldn't have been.
Okay. Very good. Two things to note on that. It's really the one thing you know, when you buy back, you have to, it has to be a safe buyback. Like you said, like you don't want to, you know, if you pre-flop by pre-flop, like if before the game, you took a side -2.5 and then either money came in on it or you decide in game, you want to take the other side. You don't want to take the other side -2, right? Or -2.5, right? Like if they are now the favorite, because now you're giving yourself, like if the game is decided by 1 point, you lose both bets, right? You don't want to find yourself in that position. When you buy back the other side, when you're trying to buy back your bet, you're looking for a situation to where like either where you had where there's maybe a slight middle, or where you're pretty much betting the same exact line, but on the other side, so that way, no matter what the result is, you lose one bet, you win the other, you end up paying the vig, you end up just paying the vig, and you live to see another day. It is a option and risk aversion, especially like early in the week, especially like NFL Monday morning, you look at a line, it's like +7 or it's like -6.5, you really like it, and you bet it, and then all of a sudden, you know, there it drops to, you know, I don't know, I don't want to say, anyways. You see a line and you really like it, you bet it, and then later in the week you realize there's an injury, there's some situation where like, oh snap, my bet's no longer as great as I thought it was. I don't know how much I trust it. Buy back to the other side, pay the vig, and do a little risk aversion. In-game wagering is really interesting, right? Because and you'll notice too, if there's a big favorite that goes down by like 12, we're talking about basketball here, if there's a big favorite that goes down by like 12 early, you'll notice that the in-game line does not reflect that of a team that's down by 12, because the books know that that's the better team and they're likely to come back. And so you have to pay attention to that. It's not like an automatic, but there are times when you have two teams that are a little bit more even and your handicap shows that one team is a little bit more competitive than the other. You believe one can come back. If they get down early, you can find yourself getting some real value on them. In game, when you have confidence that they're going to be able to come back and be competitive. So, in game live betting is definitely an asset for a lot of serious handicappers. And I know some people that are doing it so well they don't even want to talk about it, like on air and stuff like that. So, on their approach. So that is like a new, not necessarily new, but that is one way that successful handicappers are getting an edge is some in game betting. Eric, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. That's how the saying goes anyways, which means it pays to get to be greedy, but not too greedy. Well, hopefully everybody won over March Madness. There is a ticket that's floating around of a general, or as someone who bet Texas Tech, they bet like $1,500 to win $300,000. Before the season started, I think, or early into the college basketball season. And I think PropSwap had it in the marketplace for a little while, but hopefully by the time this airs, we will know if that cashed or not. But PropSwap.com is an online marketplace where you can buy and sell sports betting tickets, whether it's a long shot future like Texas Tech, a parlay with one game left, or even a straight bet at halftime. PropSwap lets you post your ticket for sale and lock in your money before the game is over. PropSwap is also a great place to find tickets at better odds than what's available at the sportsbook. Go to PropSwap.com today or download the PropSwap app. I did go to the, I've been to the casino one time, and it was to pick up some mystery free play. Little promotion they had where there was, you didn't go to a kiosk or anything like that. You actually just went right up to a machine, threw your card in, and then boom, there would just be a random amount of free play available on your account. I sat down and I got $25 in free play, but then I had another like 100 and I had a bunch of points. I had a bunch of points that I was able to cash in for some free play. So I ended up playing a total of $140 in free play. Turned it into, I think, $85-ish, which wasn't quite the return I was hoping for, but putting in just a little bit more cash in my pocket for Gamblepalooza. Eric, Gamblepalooza is, at the time that people are hearing this, just a couple of days away. I emerge from the woods, from the Pennsylvania wilderness, hopefully before 3 o'clock. I'm hoping I can try to, you know, be close to Atlantic City before rush hour hits, but I don't know how possible it's going to be. But man, I'm excited. And Eric, I know that you have, as any event planner experiences, I don't know if you've gotten the opportunity to get excited considering how much planning and stuff you've had to do on that side. And I don't know if I do it enough on here. I know Vito mentions you and thanks you every episode on his show. I also want to commend you for the amount of effort you're putting into, and I thank you for ensuring that we're all going to have a great time during this yearly event.
So I appreciate it. Thank you. But I mean, most of this is done over the phone and via email. So, I'm not,
it's time out of your day. You're in a busy part of your professional year.
It's true. But I'm not breaking rocks here. I mean, so thank you. It is greatly appreciated. But, you have contacts, you call them, you email, you correspond with Vito, and then you do it over again. I mean, it's not a big deal, but thank you. The sentiment is appreciated.
All right, good. You better appreciate it when I show you some praise. Friday, April 12th. That's when I'm rolling in. I am staying at Ocean. I think I mentioned that last week. I am staying at Ocean. Finally, I just canceled my Bally's reservation. Super excited to be at Ocean's. It's a great casino. I was hoping that's where I was going to be, and it is where I'm going to be. Thank you to the person. I don't know how they feel about me mentioning it. So someone essentially helped me make the reservation through what they had available to them. And so I thank that person for helping me get over to Ocean, because that's where I was hoping to stay. I roll in Friday. I don't know if I'm going to be there late afternoon or late evening. I think those are the two options, because if I hit rush hour on a Friday evening, Eric, I imagine my travel time will be impacted greatly. So I will be at Ocean. I don't plan on going anywhere else Friday night. So anybody who is looking to link up for a drink, do some gambling, whatever it may be, I'm going to be at Ocean on Friday night. So if you'd like to hang out, that's where I'm going to be. DM me on Twitter. I'm going to try to be better about that, about monitoring that this trip, because I know Twitter is where a lot of people like to interact during these trips. I will try to do that. If you DM me or message me throughout the week, don't expect anything. I will be in the middle of the wilderness. I'm not paying attention to technology. Friday, though, when I emerge, I will try to get back to everybody and let everybody know. Saturday the 13th, TravelZork.com sponsored cocktail hour at Mountain Bar at Wild Wild West. I'm going to be there. Eric, you're going to be there. A lot of people in this community are going to be there, both podcasters and listeners. I'm really excited. Thank you to TravelZork and Michael Traeger for sponsoring this. I'm hoping to get at least two drinks on Michael's tab, but who knows how quickly the budget will go. But it's going to be nice to see everybody again, Eric. It's going to be, even though, during these visits, you run into people before the official event starts or before the first like meetup starts. But there's something still about convening at that first official meetup that feels kind of special.
It's going to be a good time. Yeah, I you know, I looked over those who RSVP'd to it, and you know, it's all the usual suspects and some people that I'm looking forward to meeting for the first time. So it'll be great.
I am unfamiliar with Wild Wild West. It's it looks like it's sort of over by the Bally Caesars area. Is that right?
It's in between the two.
Gotcha. It's okay.
The area that connects Caesars to Bally's.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Well, that's where we'll be meeting. And then some freestyle group gaming after that. Do you think we would stick around in Wild Wild West, or do you think it'd be it for what do you think? I've never been to Wild Wild West. I'm assuming it's got to be low limits, but
it is. Yeah, it is low limits. Wild Wild West. I don't even think the tables are open at the time that. Yeah. I mean, they have $5 tables, but they don't have a lot of tables, and the rules aren't so great. At least for black, I mean, craps is, you know, it's the same, but it's one craps table. I would imagine the group will, you know, either go to Caesars where it's nicer, or Bally's where
it's cheaper.
It's cheaper, and or, you know, they have, I think they still have 100 times odds at Bally's now.
Okay.
So, you know, there might be some allure to that, but
very good. Mm-hmm. That evening, 5 p.m., we're gathering at the sports book at the Ocean Resort. I am kind of I'm contributing to the event. I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily leading it. I don't know how I should word that, but I will, for anybody who essentially what I'm going to be doing is, if you have any questions about how to get down at a sports book, so like how to like go up to the counter, how to make your bet, whatever, I'm going to be there so you can understand. I would be describing some of the wagers that are available there, something that if for people who aren't sports betting but aren't like regular players like you and I are, Eric, I'll be saying what's available for the Masters. If anybody wants to get their bet down on NFL future, NBA playoffs will have kicked on by then. I will let everybody know what I am on, and you can take that. I will not be offended if you bet against me. But for the sake of sort of giving people an idea of what to look at, if you are a regular bettor, if you're someone who is very comfortable with that, I don't know how much more value I'm going to have to give you, except for Eric, you're going to be there. I'm going to be sending people over to you if they are looking for, like signing up, right? For like, the promotional offers, whatever it may be. I'll help as I can, but you have a little more experience in that.
Yeah, I'll have a list for everybody. So okay. You'll know which sites to go to, if you want to do it in person, which books to go to. There is easily $2,000 worth of free money available to you. Well, $2,000 in free action, I guess, to be clear.
Yeah.
Even if you're not a sports bettor, but you like money, I'll show you.
It's true. I'll show you how to do that. It's true. If you're not, so that's a great point. Even if you're not into sports betting, if you can wrap your head around it just enough to take advantage of these offers, it's an advantage play, right? It is in your favor or it's not an advantage play, but it's positive EV. It's in your favor to take advantage of that. So, Eric, I will.
Let's just use the round number of $2,000.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? Let's just call it $1,000. You have $1,000 of free action. There is cash flow involved. You do have to make the deposit in order to get it matched or whatever. But let's assume there's $1,000 of free money. If $500 goes on Team A and $500 goes on Team B, that $1,000 is now worth, I guess, depending on who wins, let's assume there's no juice, it's a $500 win.
Yeah,
it didn't cost you anything,
right? So what I'm looking at, I'm gonna be there, I'm gonna order myself a cocktail or whatever at the bar, and then you and I Eric will both be there to help answer any questions about making a bet. A lot of people who have only bet offshore, however, have maybe never made a bet at a sports book counter. And let me tell you, it's kind of fun. Like, you go up, like, it's an experience in its own, walking up, making your bet. There's something in that traditional experience that I think people should have, even if you've bet plenty other ways. You should walk up to a counter and make a wager. Dinner at Dolce Mar is at 6 p.m. That's only an hour after our sports book experience starts. And I am going to the dinner at Dolce Mar. So I'm only going to be at the sports book for an hour. But I highly recommend, if you've never watched a game inside a sports book, that is fun as well. So if you aren't going to this dinner and you are going to the sports book gathering, hang out with the other people that are going to be there, watch a game, have like, experience that sweat, right? That is an experience to have as a gambler, sitting in a sports book with money on a game, sweating the results.
I want to find out if somebody's got the almonds going at the sports book.
Word, someone bring the almonds. And then 8 p.m. at Ocean Casino, freestyle group gambling. Looking forward to this. I think this is going to look, there's gonna be freestyle gaming earlier in the day, but like I said, I like Ocean. I'm looking forward to hanging out with everybody. We'll have some sport. Here's what's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun hanging out in the sports book while you got action going on. I find it equally as fun to be like at a table and like be like watching the TV screen, like either by your table or in the distance, like sort of watching a sports bet you got while you're playing at the table. I think that stuff's a lot of fun. So Saturday evening, the whole day Saturday is going to be great. The cocktail hour, everything. Sunday morning, I have breakfast buffet plans at 10. I'll be meeting up with someone there. So I will not be at Capriccio's. There's the high limit slot pool. I am not participating. So after my buffet meetup, I will be gambling somewhere, and I will let everybody know where I am for anybody who else is maybe else is not involved in the high limit slot pool. I will not be there. If anybody wants to game with me while they're not there as well, I'll let you know where I am. But then there's Gamblepalooza exclusive group gambling. So this is at Resorts AC, Eric. Now, if I'm understanding this right, does this mean like exclusive, like reserve tables for the group?
Yeah, that's exactly what it means.
Very good. Do you know what kind of tables we're going to have available?
The request was for one blackjack, one craps, and one pie gow. I'll have an answer before this airs, but you know, everything is wait and see. But it's a Sunday. Yeah. It's a Sunday afternoon, and we're a large group, so I don't envision there being any problems.
Yep, absolutely. And then evening at Hard Rock, 7 p.m. cocktails. I'll be there. I may have one beverage, though. That may not even happen. And then 7:30 p.m. Asian gaming at Hard Rock. 9 p.m. Freestyle group gaming. I will probably have left by the time the freestyle group gambling sort of has started. I do need to be at work first thing Monday morning, so I am leaving late Sunday evening. I'll probably be out by 9. My bags will be packed inside my car, and I will probably abruptly leave. So I will probably get my last sort of like great seeing you early, and then like at 9, like a pumpkin, I will be out. And that's it. That's my Gamblepalooza. The next day, if anybody's gonna be around, there's gonna be a meetup at Borgata. But it kind of seems like everybody's gonna sort of do their own thing if they're not doing that. But Eric, it looks like another fun Gamblepalooza.
Of course it'll be a fun Gamblepalooza. It's always a fun Gamblepalooza. Even though it only happened one time before, it's always a fun time.
Oh, of course, yeah. We're already batting 100,000 on fun Gamblepaloozas, and I think this is going to keep that going. Eric, I know Atlantic City sort of your spot. You've been helping arrange some of these things. But is there like, what gambling aspects to this trip are you looking forward to the most? Is there an experience you're hoping to get, or is there one that you're just particularly looking forward to?
I'm looking for a hot craps table with all of our people around us at the table. I've been shying away from craps maybe going on 6 months for a number of reasons. And I think if we have this lively group and we're having a good time, and you know, we can get a little bit of a heater going, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Me too, because as I've mentioned, group on the group outings, I don't play the don't. I I play on the pass. I join the table for that excitement. So I too will be looking for a hot crap stable because it'll bother me to no end if there's none. I'm just kidding. It is funny. One of my favorite things to do is when I'm playing with other people in this community, whether we're filling a table or just a few of us at a table, and I play the pass line with them, and like it loses a couple times in a row, I love looking at one of them and be like, why do people do this again? Why do you guys play this line? And I know that the don't loses just as much, but I find amusement in it. Eric, I did get a mailer from Oceans that's covering part of our time that we're going to be there. I have $25 free play. This is from Ocean. $25 free play on Friday, $25 free play on Saturday, same with Sunday. But each free play comes with a ore, or a food processor, or a gas gift card, or a free rolling duffel bag. I might actually take the duffel bag. I never have too many pieces of luggage, but I will most likely be playing the free play on all of those. So looking forward to a little bit of that. That's all I got. I think I got another one from Hard Rock, but I'm not sure. I don't remember this being anything that I was gonna no. I have a buy one get one free buffet available, so I might take advantage of that. We'll see.
Are you gonna use that for your clandestine Sunday morning buffet, whatever you're doing?
A listener hit me up and was like, hey, like I have I'm actually going on someone else's dime that morning. Someone hit me up, said they had a 2-for-1, wanted to know if I wanted to grab breakfast with them. And since I knew I wasn't going to Capriccio's, I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Of course. And then that's all I got. The M Life, I got another Wheel of Winners offer for late April from MGM National Harbor. Also this mystery free play for a number of days in April, where you just throw your card in the machine and boom, it gives you a random amount of free play. But one thing, Eric, I have to say, and I have to, this is, I'll wrap up here with today's talk, but I've been really disappointed that MGM National Harbor has kind of given up on the blackjack tournaments. I played a lot of them last year, right? I mean, I think anybody following me on Twitter or Instagram saw that, I was at a blackjack tournament, you know, every 4 to 6 weeks. And, I think they weren't getting the attention they thought they were, cause I haven't seen a blackjack tournament there, I think at all this year. I think 2019 hasn't yielded one blackjack tournament. So, I have to think about this because $7 pledge amount on Patreon is one that benefits from any winnings that I get at a blackjack tournament, and now that it's sort of clear, because I was waiting for April because they used to have a spring series each year, and I thought that started in April, at least I thought in April, and so I don't see it, so I'm starting to get nervous that maybe they're getting away from the routine blackjack tournaments and only going to be having the big ones. They only have a couple of those each year. So one of the things that I will be pondering while I'm walking on the Appalachian Trail in Pennsylvania is how to structure the Patreon pledge levels to make sure that everybody's getting a fair reward for their pledge. There's $2 gets you just all the bonus stuff, all the content stuff like that, and then there's the $7, all they have there right now. But I'm thinking about restructuring a little bit, so maybe there's maybe one or two other levels, so people can contribute how they like and then get some more back from me, including this little bit that I'm going to do on stoicism and how to exercise that at the craft table, because I think that's interesting. But patreon.com/thebetterlife is where you can support the show. Tip your dealers, tip your cocktail waitress, and tip your favorite podcast host. Use promo code YO11 at our online store for 11% off of your purchase. That's thebetterlife.us/merch. And Eric, after Gamblepalooza, I will seriously get down to business on getting the Pie Gal shirt designed. A lot of people, I've had several people say they want one. I know they've been patiently waiting, and I've taken my time on getting that rolling. Finally, going to seriously sit down and work with my designer and get a Pai Gow shirt made.
So I have an idea for that $7 Patreon level.
Okay, what you got?
I think you should put yourself on a list to be a donor for liver or kidney transplant, and the $7 donations go to the top of the list.
Okay.
No?
Well, because I don't want to... I know two of the three. I don't want to say who it is because I don't want to put their business on air. But I'm thinking about the people who would benefit from that. You know what? That I would have no problem with giving them. I don't know if they want my liver. That shit's been through some. That's been through some. But I don't know, kidney or something like that. Yeah, maybe.
I might go back on the list. Who knows?
You might, if that was the option, be like, oh snap! I might get a liver out of this.
That might be that might be a positive EV play. $7 a month. Yeah, that's all right.
I'd be curious to know whose liver is healthier between yours or mine.
Liver, definitely mine.
Yeah, probably.
Liver, definitely mine. Kidneys, yeah. Toss up. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll probably give you kidneys, me liver.
Yeah, I'm the minus 120 favorite on the kidneys. You're the minus 150 favorite on the liver.
I might be minus 2.
On the liver, probably. Yeah, I did live in Moscow, Russia for a year, and it took a liver took a hit then, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Very well. Well, Eric, I do appreciate you making time today so we can get this recorded before I head off into the Pennsylvania wilderness. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody at Gamblepalooza. Like I said, I'm going to be there Friday evening. I'm not leaving Ocean on Friday evening. So if you want to hang out that night, that's where I'll be, but I'm just going to be hanging out. I'm going to be playing some video poker. I'm going to be playing some craps. I'm going to be just enjoying myself casually. I'll be at the cocktail hour on Saturday at noon for anybody else who'd be there. So if I don't see you Friday night, I will see you then. Please, there's a lot going on. I'm meeting a lot of new people. I'm seeing a lot of familiar faces. Please take the time to come up and introduce yourself. Let me know. Tell me who you are. Forgive me if I forget your name after you tell me. My memory is bad. But, you know, last year's Gamblepalooza was awesome. I went there as a brand new podcast host. This year I'm going there as someone who's been around for a little bit over a year. And it's just going to be a privilege to meet everybody again. I haven't seen Mark and Dr. Mike since last Gamblepalooza. Haven't seen Vito either on that time period. I mean, I recently saw Fanboy, so yeah, I mean, I'm not as excited to see him, but definitely excited to see everybody else. Hit me up on DM me if you're like, hey, I'm going to be there. If I just told everybody what my agenda is, essentially. I told everybody what I plan on doing. If there's a little pocket of time where it's casual gaming or I'm not doing something or I'm not going to be a part of like the slop or whatever or anything, and it sort of lines up with what you plan on doing and you want to hang out or, you know, maybe sit down or talk about something, let me know. I'll accommodate whatever I can because I'm there to interact with people. So, and Eric, I'm looking forward to seeing you there as well. You and I get to chat every week, but it's been a while since we actually saw each other in person. So I'm looking forward to seeing you there as well.
Likewise. Yep. It'd be a good time.
I'm Timothy Lawson on behalf of Eric Rosenthal. Good night. Good luck.